Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A walkout by delivery drivers at more than half a dozen Amazon distribution hubs entering its second day. Starbucks workers also off the job in three big cities, Los Angeles, Chicago, and Seattle. Michelle Eisen is a bargaining delegate for Workers United.
We didn't get a fair offer from this company. We're striking because this company has still not stepped forward and solved the outstanding unfair labor practice charges.
Starbucks says the union walked away from talks earlier this week. Talks stepping up on Capitol Hill after the House voted down a newly negotiated Republican spending plan. A different bipartisan deal was torpedoed by President-elect Donald Trump and his close ally Elon Musk earlier this week. CEO murder suspect Luigi Mangione being held without bail at a federal prison in New York, the city where he is charged with murdering the head of United Healthcare, Brian Thompson. The FAA now banning drones and more New York cities following increased sightings recently. This is ABC News. One more overseas trip in the books for President Biden in the waning weeks of his administration. This time, he'll travel to Italy.
The White House says during a phone call Thursday, President Biden thanked Pope Francis for his continued advocacy to alleviate global suffering, including the Pope's work to advance human rights and protect religious freedom. The president accepted an invitation from Pope Francis to visit him at the Vatican next month. Mr. Biden will travel to Rome from January 9th through the 12th and will also meet with the president and prime minister of Italy. The trip will come with less than 2 weeks left in President Biden's term, very late for a president to travel overseas. Karen Travers, ABC News, Washington.
A manhunt is underway in Seattle this morning after a bus driver was killed after being stabbed in an altercation with a passenger earlier this week. Officials say 53-year-old Richard Zitlak attacked the driver on the bus early Wednesday before fleeing the scene. According to the union, this was the first fatal attack on a King County bus driver in 26 years. Jerry Preston.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Todd Allbush Show.
Luke Matheris, you let the dogs out.
I let the dogs out. It was me. After about 15 minutes, I go out there and I'm like, what is this mound? An opossum playing dead in the middle of the yard. I'm out there kind of hollering, like trying to corral the dogs. And then we finally got Aurora to come in the house, stepped away for a little bit, came back and was gone. But I really hope that it remembers this traumatic experience and never comes back in my yard again.
The Todd Allbush Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Bucks players in the Hall of Fame? Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame has posted their nominees for this year's class of inductees, and four Milwaukee Bucks are on the list. Marcus Johnson, who played 11 years with the team. Terry Cummings, who had an 18-year career in the NBA, six with Milwaukee. John McLaughlin, who was on the 1971 championship team, nominated as an NBA contributor. And head coach Doc Rivers, who was on a list of one of the top 15 coaches of all time in the NBA. The finalists to be announced during the All-Star break in February. The Bucks are on the road tonight in Cleveland, taking on the first place Cavaliers. NFL, the Packers holding practice in the snow yesterday, getting ready to host the Saints. Matt LaFleur says he wants to see his team dominate on Monday night.
We have not played a complete game, I would say, in all three phases in the same game. There's been moments, but it always comes back down to focusing on yourself, and I don't care who you're playing in this league.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Jim Carrey was serious about retiring from acting until he wasn't. The actor told the Associated Press that he was going to retire, but bought a lot of stuff and needed money. Desperation is not a very good negotiating tactic, so I'm guessing that is why Carrey probably walked back his comments to comicbook.com, saying he was joking. You can catch Carrey in Sonic Hedgehog 3 in theaters December 20th. In Where Are They Now news, one of the lovable thugs in Home Alone was played by Daniel Stern. You might remember him as the guy who had maybe the greatest scream in movie history when Macaulay Culkin put the huge spider on his chest. Stern posted a video on Blue Sky showing what he is doing now, tangerine farming. He gave his followers a tour of his studio and fruit squeezing apparatuses. It was actually really cool. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be a little chilly today, but it's not going to be windy. Mostly sunny. Our high 22 this afternoon. The wind will be out of the north to northwest at around 5 to 10. Clear tonight, 3 above tomorrow. Mostly cloudy, 19 by Sunday. Mostly cloudy with a high of 28. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now, 16.
Hi, this is Jim Schmidt with Lean Local. This week's show, we discuss stress during the holiday season with Kimberly Johnson from Johnson Counseling.
Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, Sunday afternoons at 1 on 97.9 WGBW and the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
That would be me, so I'd better say these words. Good morning. Welcome back to Up North News Radio, unabashedly Wisconsin, and brought to you by Courier Newsroom, carried by our friends here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It's 7:06 on this Friday morning, December 20th, 12/20/2024, and it is nice to have you here up north on this lovely Friday morning. Coming up this hour, we will be talking to former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel and getting a big what when we ask about the latest example of how Donald Trump is skipping out on accountability based on a ruling in a case down in Georgia. We'll try to figure out an explanation for what happened there, coming up with Jim Santel in just a bit. We'll talk to Mark Jacob about coverage of the Trump transition and coverage of what appears to be a likely government shutdown tonight. Republicans in the House are still fighting amongst themselves, which is a fancy way of saying they know how they could solve this, but Donald Trump and Elon Musk are telling them to do something different, and that's going to lead to a shutdown and keep members of Congress over the weekend unless they pull a rabbit out of the hat sometime between now and midnight tonight. So we'll talk to Mark Jacob about that. Dan Schumacher's got the week off, but we'll see. Talk to him again soon about sports, but we will talk about the Packers Monday night football game coming up and talk about a historic way that points were scored in a football game last night. So that will be coming up along the way. If you'd like to join us, our number is 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, which reminds me, you know, you could also use the Civic Media app to text us. Why don't you text us a keyword? Because this is it. We're wrapping up the grown-up gift list text-to-win contest from the Civic Media app, or you can use the text button to send this keyword by the end of the hour for your chance to win $100 this hour and be in the running for 8 grand prizes from the grown-up gift list. Get the details at civicmedia.us. Your next chance to win will be at 11 a.m., but this hour's keyword is joy, J-O-Y. Joy is this hour's keyword. Text it, be in the running to win $100 in cash from the Civic Media grown-up gift list. Let's see if we've got something here from Rob. I'm sure we do. There we go on Facebook. Rob says, good morning from Tigerton. It's fair and 21 degrees, wind chill 11, a brisk north wind at 10 miles an hour, 3 inches of snow. I was snow plowing yesterday, making 2 rounds of my plow jobs. I was out at 2 a.m., but now I stop for breakfast and fuel and have 3 more jobs out of 12. Snow Queen Brittany gave me a Christmas present to do my plowing jobs and make money. Yes, indeed, she did. And so good luck, Rob. Be safe. Make that money. But let's not kid ourselves, meteorologist Brittany Merlot. That storm was lame compared to what it could have been, which, again, some people are very happy about that. Other people, very not happy. But this one was an underperformer, shall we say.
Oh, it definitely was, especially for us up here, up north. My goodness, that system was trending to hit us. I mean, even the National Weather Service put that out for us to be in the warning. And then what did it do? Stubborn. It went south. Like it had all last year, too. A lot of those systems slid south of us. So into La Crosse, Monroe, Buffalo counties, they picked up over a half a foot of snowfall. Even into Tomah, Sparta, areas like that. And then on the other side of the state, the lake effect snow is still going on, and it hit areas towards Horicon, Cedar Grove, Fredonia, really, really hard. Those are Sheboygan, Dodge, Zaki counties. Near a foot of snowfall for them. So
Can I interrupt just long enough to say I'm glad that somebody on this radio show mentioned Fredonia? Because we don't get to talk about much. I think of what Marx Brothers movie that was. And wasn't Fredonia like the fictional country that Groucho Marx was the ruler of? I don't know if it was duck soup or what. But anyway, Fredonia, we're thinking of you. Shout out to you. Brittany, please continue.
All right. So that lake effect snow is still ongoing from Lake Superior and Lake Michigan, but it's hitting harder off of Lake Michigan into these really populated towns. So a winter storm warning is still ongoing until about 9 a.m. for Manitowoc, Kewaunee, Door County areas. It could pick up another 2 inches of snowfall. And then a winter weather advisory extends all the way down that shoreline and towards Milwaukee and the state line of Illinois. So for the rest of us, what's happening? Well, we're starting to see clear skies, cooling temperatures, winds are still feisty, and temperatures are in the teens right now, and it's really feeling more like the single digits. So it's crisp, it's cold, it's clearing, and that means we're going to see some sunshine today. So yes, every single part of the state will see the sunshine. Obviously, the further east you live, it might take a little bit longer. Highs today will be crisp and cool into those teens to low 20s. But 30 degrees for a high in towards Milwaukee. We do crash cold, though, overnight to the single digits. Thankfully, the winds will have calmed down. But teens and low 20s is our high temperatures for tomorrow. Into Sunday, we're looking at upper 20s to low 30s with some scattered flurries possible, especially into the Northwoods. And then another system lifts in on Monday, where we are looking at snow chances north of pretty much Highway 29. And then a wintry mix from La Crosse to Sheboygan and rain, mainly southern parts of the state. And as we look even further ahead, Christmas Day, it doesn't look good. A wintry mix pushes in potentially an ice storm into the northern parts of the state by Christmas night. Yes. So we're going to keep tracking that for you. But just a heads up for those who are hitting the road.
I thought we were going to see this warm up. Is that coming up afterwards?
Oh, yes, it is. And then we're going to hit the 40s right after that.
Ooh, okay. Well, we'll come back to that. Mr. Bach has a question or a point.
Two things. I would just love to point out the fact that Pat interrupted the weather to make a duck soup reference.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And also, before we got in the air, Pat and I were talking about all the important people that are in a winter storm. You got all these individuals who are doing the hard work. You got Robin Tigerton plowing. You got you doing the meteorology to make sure you're up to speed. But I think the one group we don't talk about, Pat,
who's that?
Are the linemen who do the really hard work.
Especially if there's wet, heavy snow on the lines. It is. It's hard work, isn't it?
Yeah. So I think we should really talk about them.
I don't think they get their due.
They don't.
And no. So thankfully we've got somebody out there
thank you.
Willing to say,
I am the lineman for the county.
Okay, and Brittany didn't join us that time either, but, you know, we'll keep trying.
I'm learning the lyrics now. Now I can next time.
The amount of times we've done, Brittany, the amount of times you'd we've think. Done this bit in this year, you'd think you'd have it memorized.
That's what I was telling him last hour. I was getting all the highlights for our end of the year shows next week, and it's almost frightening how many times we've serenaded you with Wichita linemen. But
that's fantastic. It's one of the best songs ever.
That's right. Rob chimes in again. Getting dry air in a snowstorm is a bummer, but it's not Brittany's fault.
Okay,
well, of course, no, we would never blame her.
We didn't blame her, Rob.
Nope, we were just saying it underperformed, and it's not her fault. Alicia, though, says, Brittany can come hang out in the Fox Valley. I'll bet she could build a snowman.
So, I would love to. Maybe that's what I'll do.
It doesn't
today.
Have to be a snowman.
That's true. And look, finally, a couple days before the break, I finally found a Christmas-themed coffee mug down in the basement.
Me
Here's
too.
How old it is. Look, it's from Pier One Imports. Yours says "Woke up sexy as hell again." That's not a Christmas theme. And Brittany says "Sweater weather."
Sweater weather.
Yeah.
Sweater
weather. And you're wearing the sweater that's like you're like I'm the gift this year. You're welcome, the world.
That's
all
right.
All that snow. Yep.
So, are you with us next week?
Yes, I'll be here.
Okay. All right. We'll see you Monday, Tuesday as we head into the holidays. Thanks, Brittany. Have a great weekend.
Good. You too.
All right. Again, this hour's keyword is joy, J-O-Y, if you want to text that in as part of the Grown Up Gift List Text to Win contest. Coming up across Civic Media today, Todd Alba at 1:30 has a guest that brings you E-Bomb's World Biweekly Weird News Roundup. So get set for your weird news fix at 1:30. Maggie Dawn at 2 o'clock has Terry Barr on to talk about what is good and local and overlooked in Wisconsin. And Mr. Bach will be part of Matt and Air on Air. And at 11 o'clock, you guys are slated to be recombobulating.
Oh, yes. We got Dan Schaefer from the recombobulation area comes in every Friday. He's now, if he's in office, which he usually is now, he sticks around for three segments. We talk about like the top stories of what's going on, and then we have a little bit of fun. It's great. But we also have at 10:30 Mr. James Vanderloo, who is going to be talking about tariffs in America. He came on before the election to talk about what would be happening, and now that Trump has been reelected, we're going to get an idea from him on what he and his company, which that name is escaping me right now, it's right there in the back of my brain, what they're going to be doing to handle all of these businesses and the tariffs and the possibility of companies trying to move.
All right, so stay tuned for that for Matt and Air on Air a little later on today. If you missed it last hour, a couple of the topics that we covered include that Assembly Speaker Robin Voss wants to copy his hero Elon Musk and create a new layer of bureaucracy to look for waste in the bureaucracy. And we list several ways that that could be done by Speaker Voss if he were to look in the mirror. And we talk about the fiscal recklessness that he has wrought upon the state during the Republican majority time in the legislature. We also had some of the latest on the potential for a government shutdown, and we'll watch that throughout the day, of course, on shows across the Civic Media Radio Network. But I have to say that Congressman Derek Van Orden did something that Republicans in the legislature did last time around that I'm going to call out every single time. Derek Van Orden put up on Twitter, two stacks of paper. One stack is very tall, maybe 7, 8, 9 inches tall, and the others maybe an inch or two. And one he calls America, and one he calls the swamp. Or no, one he calls the swamp, the big one, and the little one is America. What he's trying to say is that there was this bloated budget bill, and that Republicans streamlined it into just a few pages. And I will remind people endlessly that what that really illustrates is the difference between people who want to serve in government and do the work and those who are lazy and want to take the simple way out. In what was going to be a budget deal that kept the government open to appease Republicans, funding was stripped out for all manner of things, including multiple different cancer research centers and hospitals. And other matters that were in bipartisan bills that were set to pass, they were folded into the budget bill so that they would pass for efficiency's sake. But all of that was stripped out, and all of those good things will have to wait. Because again, some folks are interested in doing the work, and some people are just lazy legislators. When we come back, former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel will join us, and we'll talk about how Trump once again, like the Roadrunner, managed to escape another predicament in his many legal battles for trying to overturn an American election. This is Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Back in a bit. You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Cindy from Appleton.
Time Magazine has made the convicted felon the man of the year this year. Shame on them.
Time Magazine base their person of the year on impact and like newsmaking. The CEO assassination is pretty much the only news cycle that isn't entirely focused on Donald Trump, and yet it still relates to him because he has no health care policy.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Luke Mathers, you let the dogs out.
I let the dogs out. It was me. After about 15 minutes, I go out there and I'm like, what is this mound? An opossum playing dead in the middle of the yard. So I'm out there kind of hollering, like trying to corral the dogs. And then we finally got Aurora to come in the house, stepped away for a little bit, came back and was gone. But I really hope that it remembers this traumatic experience and never comes back in my yard again.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Send lawyers, guns, and money. Dad, get me out of this.
Hey, a quick note again, the keyword this hour for the Grown Up Gift List Text to Win contest is joy, and you can text that keyword to pretty much any station on the Civic Media app, but otherwise when you're using the app to text us, be careful in your choice of station, because somebody texted us here at Up North News Radio, but they clearly meant to text in one of the other shows, but still, even though it wasn't meant for us, thank you for letting us know that Horicon got 9 inches of snow, 9.1. to be exact. But we always appreciate the text messages of any type, keywords or otherwise. All right, let's bring in former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel now, who has a show on the weekends, Saturday morning, live, 9 a.m., Amicus, a law review. Mr. Santel, how are you?
I am doing well. It's as it is there in other parts of the state of Wisconsin, winter wonderland here in southeastern Wisconsin.
There you go, a winter wonderland. We are going to start with, Donald Trump legal woes, which, again, somehow, I mean, do you remember the Reagan presidency and how we ended up nicknaming him the Teflon president because of all the scandals during his administration? Nothing seemed to stick to him.
Right. Iran-Contra, people went to jail for that, and nothing happened to him, right?
I mean, if I don't know what's a grade above Teflon, but it sure seems that Donald Trump is wrapped in it, in escaping accountability. In Georgia, by way of background, this is the one where Donald Trump called the Secretary of State, and it's recorded, saying, I need you to find me 11,000 blah, blah, blah votes. Find me votes. In other words, rig the results. Anybody else would have done that. They'd have been in prison orange in almost no time. And yet Donald Trump just won a major victory in that case on something that he had nothing to do with. But tell us what happened and we'll try to explain it.
So the case pending until recently before Judge Scott McAfee, he's the trial court judge. And he was the one, as you and your listeners will recall very well, had this hearing about whether Fani Willis, who's the DA, she's the prosecutor, the state prosecutor, whether she should be taken off the case. Why? Allegedly, because she did in fact have a romantic relationship with another member of her prosecution team. And the allegation by the defendants were that because of that, she could no longer be on the case. There was a financial incentive for her to prosecute this and for that reason, take her off. Scott McAfee wisely did this. He said, first of all, there's no conflict of interest here under Georgia law. Nothing to look at here in terms of a conflict. But he said, there's a sufficient appearance of impropriety, and this is where it becomes important for yesterday's news, for the public to digest all this. And he said, in order for that to be addressed, what needs to have happen is inside the prosecution team, the individual with whom you have this relationship, that person has to go. You may recall, well, he resigned within hours of Scott McAfee saying that. And then the defendants, including Donald Trump, appealed that decision for the Court of Appeals. And that's where we get the opinion yesterday. Interestingly, finding, again, no conflict of interest. They can't under Georgia law. This is just not supported. But they said that this appearance of impropriety, that the public no longer has trust in the prosecution, is sufficiently great that the sanction that Judge McAfee imposed is not strong enough. And therefore, she needs to be off the case. Her office needs to be off the case. And again, a major victory for Donald Trump, a major blow to the future prosecution of this case. And again, one of those situations where you say, all right, the conduct itself internal to the office, inappropriate, and all of us in government, in corporate America, other places would say should not happen. This is a remedy that does not impact the prosecution itself from the start. And this notion that somehow Donald Trump has now twisted this into a point where you've got the prosecutor off the case is, frankly, to my mind, lawless, with due respect to the Court of Appeals. And the public should look at this and not only scratch your head, but once again, be shaking your head in abject disbelief.
Yeah, I mean, it's a three judge panel, the Court of Appeals. All three were Republican appointees, and they ruled 2-1 on this case. And look, let me make clear first, I'm not a lawyer. But second, I think I can still make this observation. It would be one thing if Fani Willis or anybody else in this position, if there were something financial involved, yes, where you could see that somebody was going to benefit, you know, they bought stock in Trump's company or they sold it or, you know, something like that.
That's the conflict of interest that
that's the conflict,
exist.
The clear conflict. But a romantic relationship is stretching credulity, as they say.
Right. And beyond that, again, it's 2-1, as you just said, you do have an appeals court judge who says, this is Benjamin Land. He says, I'm pretty troubled by the fact the majority has taken what has long been a discretionary decision of the trial court. That is, he's talking about Scott McAfee making this determination by assessing credibility of the people in front of him, presiding over his own case, and converting it to something else entirely. And that he's got that just right. In addition to the merits of this, leave this at the trial court level. That's the person, that's the court at which these decisions should be made. You've got the upfront audience for all this. And the Court of Appeals by 2-1 says, nope. Fani Willis says she will appeal this. In the meantime, however, once again, the case not just on hold, but maybe heading ultimately to oblivion. If it stands, has to be assigned now to a different prosecutor. And that will take a long, long time.
He asked the Secretary of State to find him 11,000 votes, and we are still at this and will be for years because of these kind of legal machinations or whatever the case may be. Jim, during your time as U.S. Attorney, did you serve during any of the government shutdowns when Congress couldn't come up with funding?
Absolutely. It was the bane of my existence on a routine basis. I was having staff meetings telling people what's going to happen tomorrow night at Thursday. I sat down with members of our staff internally and talked with them about going home. I was sending people home with the expectation they would not get paid, that our operation would in many ways be stymied. But what's going to happen? I can't count the number of times on just two hands, probably, that this happened. Eventually, yes, indeed, government goes back into shape and people get paid. But sent people home, absolutely, it is destructive not only to the operation of government, including U.S. attorney's offices, responsible for civil litigation, criminal prosecution, but also just the basic psyche, if you will, of good civil servants who are there to do the work of the people, sending them home, telling them you've got no job now, at least for a while. And by the way, we're not going to pay you for being home. Terrible, terrible.
And by the way, this is not some kind of alien thing. One of the longest shutdowns ever was under Donald Trump. And again, it started over the holidays. So I sense we just might have something to talk about when we gather again. It won't be for a couple of weeks, but it might be a thing. Jim Santel, thank you as always. Happy holidays. We'll see you again soon.
Pat, happy holidays to you and your listeners. We'll talk soon. Take care.
All right. Mark Jacobs coming up right after this break. You're up north.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Artificial intelligence. You may not think you're engaged in that process now, But you might be surprised. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news for a Friday. Wisconsin's taking a real look at artificial intelligence. Amy Pahacek, Department of Workforce Development Secretary, says right now, data-driven industries are relying on artificial intelligence to help augment some of the dull or dirty jobs that a lot of humans don't want to do. And that includes a big sector of agriculture.
We know right now 18% of Wisconsin farmers are using precision agriculture practices, which are augmented from AI. Again, this is things like GPS, computer and farm equipment technology, to do seeding and soil maintenance, and also look at things like herd health on the dairy farm. We toured Agriculture Center of Excellence in Wausau, and we looked at really cool automated robotic milking systems. This helps augment the fact that right now we know population shortages exist in our rural areas.
That's Amy Pahacek. She's the secretary of the Department of Workforce Development. And if you say, well, I'm not involved in agriculture, I'm not impacted by artificial intelligence, think again. Pahacek says, according to the latest U.S. Census Bureau data, Wisconsin is number one in terms of early adoption of artificial intelligence, and 15% of employees do work with AI as part of their daily work life. She also notes another 5% of businesses are planning to adopt artificial intelligence in the next 6 months.
Did you know you can build a water and nutrient superhighway in your soil? You just need the Maximum Acre solution from Sound Agriculture. The easiest way to maximize your crop's access to nutrients all season long. How does it work? First, Source turns your soil into a nutrient factory, activating microbes that supply nitrogen, phosphorus, and micronutrients. Then Blueprint builds the delivery network. It provides a beneficial fungi called AMF, a powerful biological partner that plants rely on for macronutrients, micronutrients, and water. When used with Source, Blueprint expands the crop's reach beyond the roots, helping it access nutrients and water when they're needed most. For the Maximum Acre solution that leads to bigger, healthier, and more productive plants, Source it with Blueprint. Talk to your dealer or visit sound.ag.
And the 2024 Wisconsin Outstanding Teacher, named by the Wisconsin Ag in the Classroom program, hails from Milwaukee. Find out more about Joshua Gonzalez at MidwestFarmReport.com. That's food news on a Friday. I'm Pam Yonke.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be a little chilly today, but it's not going to be windy. Mostly sunny, our high 22 this afternoon. The wind will be out of the north to northwest at around 5 to 10. Clear tonight, 3 above tomorrow. Mostly cloudy, 19 by Sunday. Mostly cloudy with a high of 28. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 15.
The Todd Alba Show.
Luke Matheris, you let the dogs out.
I let the dogs out. It was mean. After about 15 minutes, I go out there and I'm like, what is this mound? An opossum playing dead in the middle of the yard. I'm out there kind of hollering, like trying to corral the dogs. And then we finally got Aurora to come in the house, stepped away for a little bit, came back and was gone. But I really hope that it remembers this traumatic experience and never comes back in my yard again.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, will the Musk-Trump GOP get to a plan C to fund the government before midnight Friday? Also, what impact does the ABC Disney settlement have on journalism? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
Hey, while you are sitting there with your chestnuts by the open fire, consider catching up on some of the newsletters you subscribed to over the past year, and maybe weeding out the ones you're not reading and trying some new ones. And have we got suggestions for you? Head over to couriernewsroom.com. You can read news and analysis from all 11 state outlets, our national team of correspondents. There's podcasts, there's merchandise, and there's great newsletters that include the one that Mark Jacobs puts together, Stop the Presses, which you can also get at stopthepresses.news. And Mark Jacobs joins us on this Friday morning at 7:35. Oh, by the way, before I forget, the grown-up gift list text to win contest. If you haven't texted it in yet, you've got till the end of the hour to text the word joy, J-O-Y. Use that Civic Media app. Mark Jacob, how you doing?
I'm doing for good. How are you?
I'm okay. I was better until I think it was the day before yesterday, or maybe it was yesterday, when I saw this headline in the New York Times. Where does a remarkable U.S. economy go from here? And they mention all the ways that the U.S. economy is ahead of its global peers. And then they say, they close by saying that all these good things in the economy, quote, amount to a rough list of Donald Trump's campaign promises.
Well, he will take credit for it.
He will take credit for it, but Joe Biden did that. That was, people don't like to hear Bidenomics, but guess what, kids? Bidenomics gave us the best economy on the planet right now, and President Biden's role in this is not mentioned until so far down in the story that I got carpal tunnel from scrolling to try to get there.
Well, you know, I mean, if the New York Times is supposed to be news you can use, they're a little late delivering this news. I mean, before the election might have been, preferable. You know, Pat, they were saying for a very long time that we were headed for a recession. That recession never came.
Nope.
I mean, they're just relentlessly negative about the economy in the first, two-thirds of the Biden administration. I mean, just in a shocking way, just how even the good news. I used to collect headlines in which they would write about, well, the economy is looking okay, but doubts remain. As if there's ever been a time in history where there hasn't been doubts about the economy.
Doubts or naysayers, and this really was the year of the naysayer. Mm-hmm. That if you are negative enough about something, you're going to get press on it, even if the facts aren't on your side. Now, look, this is going to sound to a lot of people like, post-game carping, but this really is about setting the record straight and making sure that the record is set straight. It frankly is a big chunk of what I'm seeing in your newsletter over at stopthepresses.news about, basically making sure that we understand that we can still work together to defend democracy. There are still things that need to be said and done and things that you won't do. And that's actually your headline. Here's what we won't do when Trump takes over. Take us through a little bit of that.
Yeah, I mean, obviously people are bummed out. If they, if they like democracy, they're bummed out because it could be a horrible, time after January 20th. I mean, Trump's promising a horrible time. But I just wanted to try to achieve both realism and optimism, which is hard to balance those two things.
Yes.
And include those in his times. But I did want to say, here's what we're not going to do and how this to bend the knee in effect. But, and let me read a little bit of it. We won't shut up. We won't retreat from the news. We won't lose our ability to be outraged. We won't be duped by a fake crisis that serves as a pretext to send the military against American citizens and turn our country into a police state. And we won't sit on our couch and watch protests on TV when we should be out protesting in front of the TV cameras. I've got a long list that goes on and on about this, but my basic point is that we can't just give up. We can't be this defeatist people. That's not American. Americans, fight for what they believe in. And we need to be that way. And it's funny, my wife was telling me that she was saying that one of the things she was counting on was Republican incompetence. Mm-hmm. And I am too, because I mean, they certainly have managed to achieve a lot of power. And, we're going to see that. We're going to see a lot of abuse of power. But, what we're seeing these days in Washington is Republicans fumbling around and falling all over themselves.
Oh my
and we
gosh.
Can hope that it continues. But we've got to help that. We've got to stand up for what we actually believe in.
Yeah. A couple more from the column that stood out at me. We won't tolerate abuse of women simply because the person who won the last election is a sexual predator. We won't get exhausted. Instead, we'll pace ourselves, find ways to relax and enjoy life and be ready to go at crucial moments. And then this one. We won't accept the notion that all politicians lie. More politicians lie when the news media and public accept lying and thus make it advantageous to lie. And that gets me to another post of yours about, again, don't normalize lying. Don't normalize bad behavior. And you rightly call out Congressman Ralph Norman of South Carolina, who is talking about the proposed spending bill and that this is not what the American people voted for. And yet you remind folks, when I don't think anybody else did, that in January of 2021, Ralph Norman sent a text calling on Trump to declare martial law to keep Biden from taking office. And that truly is an example of not what the American people voted for. And yet you might have been the only person that brought that up.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I mean, there's this kind of amnesia about the traitors. And Ralph Norman, you know, he's in Congress and I've been tracking it. I mean, this is kind of been this lonely mission of mine is I've been tracking the New York Times, how many times they mentioned Ralph Norman's name without mentioning the fact that he was pushing for a military assisted coup to stop Biden from taking office. And it's been over the last 50 plus times the New York Times has mentioned his name. They have not included that fact over the last 23 months. They've normalized him into just a normal conservative who wants a fiscal
restraint. It's all about deficit spending,
right? I mean, yeah. but and just so everyone understands the facts, this is after January 6th. This is like about 3 days before the inauguration of Biden. Ralph Norman, congressman from South Carolina, sends a text to Mark Meadows, the chief of staff of Trump, and says, hey, we need to declare martial law. Now, he spelled martial law wrong. He spelled it martial as M-A-R-S-H-A-L-L. And the shocking thing is when people have asked him about that, he says that's the only thing he regrets is that he spelled it wrong. Mm-hmm. He was asking Trump after January 6th, 2 weeks after January 6th almost, he was asking him to declare martial law so that Biden wouldn't take office. In effect, a military coup. I mean, it's shocking. And this guy is normalized by almost everyone, yep, by the media. There's this that they've forgotten everything that we should remain outraged about.
Here's another thing that appears to have been normalized. And you rightly pass along the words from Chris Murphy, who talks about the potential criminal referral of Liz Cheney. And again, Senator Murphy from Connecticut is out there going, why are we just talking about the X's and O's of how would Liz Cheney be prosecuted rather than noting that everything about her that could be criminally prosecuted is completely made up?
Right, right. And you know, it's okay for the news media to say that, to say this is unprecedented, there's no basis for it, that this is a member of Congress conducting a congressional investigation that was authorized by the people in Congress who were doing it, this isn't going to go anywhere, I don't think. But what it is an attempt to intimidate everyone. I mean, it's just a shot across the bow saying, shut up, don't say anything. And, with if Kash Patel becomes FBI director, you know, they may go out and arrest her. Who knows what? I would worry about her. But again, your main point, Pat, is that the news media is acting like, well, this is the way government works now. No, it's not. I mean, if it is the way government works, that's a fascist government.
Right. Here's my prediction is that there will be some kind of one symbolic high profile arrest. Mm-hmm. And let's use Liz Cheney as an example, though I'm not saying it would necessarily be her. But there will be one where this person will look as surprised as anybody else that, you know, she or he is in handcuffs and, you know, being frog marched into a courthouse, and that either through public uproar or more likely the legal case that is so lame, you know, it will not go forward. But that's not the point. The right point for Trump and Kash Patel and the others is to intimidate others to say, well, Liz Cheney got off the hook, but it could happen to you. And so normalizing even one symbolic arrest for the cameras is playing right into their hands.
Right. I mean, I don't think that the that Trump thinks he's going to win that lawsuit against the Des Moines Register and Seltzer, the pollster. I mean, that's a stupid lawsuit, and that it'll be thrown out probably in first hearing.
But ABC, they caved. They caved in settling that defamation suit earlier this week. And, I mean, every reputable journalist in the country just had to go, get off my side. You're not helping.
Exactly. And I mean, I hate to be right all the time, but I certainly was right about this. I mean, I wrote a column, Stop the Press's newsletter column, 1 month ago that I didn't count on the mainstream high level legacy news media to stand up for anything, that the profit motive was so great that they would cave whenever they thought it was in their financial interest, and that we really needed to more rely on independent media, not people like the networks.
It is so more important than ever. What any thoughts on how this potential government shutdown is being covered, and any guess on what's going to happen?
Well, I mean, they'll fumble around a bunch. What I wonder is whether the Trump Musk thing relationship will get rocky, because Trump doesn't like to have rivals, and Musk is megalomaniac. So we'll have to see how that goes. The real thing that bothers me about this is this Republican fumbling around. And this is totally Republican fumbling around. And if the media is not saying Republican when they're talking about the chaos, they're missing a bet. Is that it's happening? This happened is going to happen 2 years before an election. So unfortunately, everyone will forget about it by then. That's the real problem, I think, that both in news coverage and in the mindset of American voters, is they forget things too early. I haven't forgotten January 6th. I'm still pissed off about it, Pat.
Yeah, and should be. But instead, we're seeing all this Elon Musk press, which doesn't have nearly enough of the element of who elected this guy. And instead, you and Mr. Beschloss rightly point out you were talking with Chris Murphy or with Stephen about this is the definition of an oligarchy.
Right. Yeah. Stephen and I did a on target video on that. And people need to understand what an oligarchy is. There's these terms that people may have not been familiar with until the recent years, but it's really ruled by the elite. It's super rich people in league with corrupt politicians running everything and thwarting the will of the voter. And that's what seems to be happening, is that Musk helped get Trump elected, and he's expecting Trump to help make him even richer. Although, Pat, how rich can you get? How rich does anybody want to get? I mean, what's the point of that? I mean, I've like tried to earn money so that I could, have a nice condo, and so that I could, give nice presents to my kids for birthdays. I mean, it's like, how do you really need to be a trillionaire? Who needs that?
That apparently is one of Elon Musk's goals, is to be the first ever trillionaire, because, again, he understands that many people accept that power is no longer weighed in the number of votes you get, but the number of dollars you have. So his competition isn't other politicians. It's Jeff Bezos and Bill Gates and the other rich dudes out there. And the one who has the most out of all of them is going to be the most powerful man on earth, because, again, it's all about power. Personally, I'd rather have the nice condo.
Yeah, really. And well, I'm about to post on Blue Sky, which I've switched to. I've given up on Twitter.
Good.
And it is this headline from 2 years ago in the New York Times, where it says, critics say Musk has revealed himself as a conservative. It's not so simple. And it's this article in which the New York Times is explaining how Elon Musk is really a moderate.
Oh, of course.
Of course he is. Of course he is. Thanks, New York Times. You really, you were just as right about that as you were about the economy.
Just so easily fooled. Get the newsletter. StopThePresses.news is the address. And Mark will be back with us on Friday, January 3rd, for a new Congress. Mark, thank you so much. Happy holidays to you.
You too.
All right. We'll be back with more to wrap up the week here on Up North News Radio from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air. Earl Ingram.
Mr. Ben Wickler, he is running for the national DNC chair. The fundamental problem was the Democratic brand. Do you think that is the case more than the Harris campaign?
Core answer is yes. The Democratic brand, it's not what we necessarily do or say. It's what people have heard and internalized. And that, to me, is an argument for thinking about how and where we communicate, making sure we are present in places where people are thinking about stuff other than politics.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
Luke Mathers, you let the dogs out.
I let the dogs out. It was mean. After about 15 minutes, I go out there and I'm like, what is this mound? An opossum playing dead in the middle of the yard. I'm out there kind of hollering, like trying to corral the dogs. And then we finally got Aurora to come in the house, stepped away for a little bit, came back and was gone. I really hope that it remembers this traumatic experience and never comes back in my yard again.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, riding down Santa Claus Lane.
Was it fun looking for all the bumper music for the holidays today instead of the usual yacht rock?
I mean, I enjoy the Christmas music, don't get me wrong, but yep. It was very, very yachtless, rockless. Very.
Yeah, very, very much so. This is normally the point where we would visit with Dan Schumacher, talk a little sports here, but Dan's on a well-deserved holiday break, so we'll see him again on January 3rd. But we're going to start with a little sports here simply because something happened in the NFL last night that hasn't happened in 48 years. The way that points were scored, which, you know, you go, well, you, safety? Nope, safety's happened occasionally and other things happen. The free kick. And I hear all kinds of non-football fans going, what? The free kick. Wait, you don't know about the free kick?
Bro, do you even free kick, man? Do you even free kick?
Here's the thing. We talk about how we really shouldn't even call it football anymore because we're taking so much of the foot out of it. I mean, kickoffs are like everybody stands still like statues now, and there's all these fair catches and everything else. That there's very little that involves kicking the ball for strategy. I mean, even the onside kick, you have to announce ahead of time that you're doing an onside kick. So the fact that some coach, in this case with the, I almost call them the San Diego Chargers, they still are to me, the Los Angeles Chargers, had the presence of mind to invoke a rule. And here was the rule. If you fair catch a kick, like a punt, if you fair catch with no time left on the clock, as was the case right before halftime of last night's game, you can have a free kick worth 3 points if you kick it from the place where you made the fair catch. And in this case, the Chargers kick receiver, he caught a punt at about just inside the 50-yard line. And there was no time left on the clock. So their kicker attempted a free kick from that point, which meant it was a 57-yard field goal attempt. And he made it. And so it's the first points scored on a free kick since 1976. And I'm hearing it in my voice. I'm telling you that I hear y'all going, guy's getting a little too excited about this. But it's new. It's novel. It's something that just doesn't happen very much.
It's interesting. So. It's an interesting it's an interesting conversation starter. Hey, people, this is Pat's show. Let him talk about what he wants to talk about.
And more importantly, it was the Chargers versus the Denver Broncos, and I have no idea how the game ended because I don't care. The final score has no bearing on me. But you know, something kind of historic happened, which I thought was pretty cool. So that's why I'm bringing it up.
Yeah.
The Packers, meanwhile, they play Monday night. They will be at Lambeau Field. They will host the New Orleans Saints. 7:15. It's a game that you can catch on some Civic Media radio stations, starting with a pregame at 5 o'clock on WRJN in Racine Kenosha, WRCO in Richland Center, WCQM in Park Falls. Not on the Civic Media app. There's a lot of Badger sports and high school sports on the Civic Media app, just not the NFL game. So I just want to make sure you understand that ahead of time. We've got the Badger men's basketball team playing Sunday against Detroit Mercy. That's going to wrap up non-conference play for them. It's all Big Ten after this. And again, the game is on several Civic Media stations and the app. Head to civicmedia.us for more. The Badger women's basketball team is actually playing this morning. They've got a home game against Albany at 11 a.m. The Badger hockey teams, men and women, are on a holiday break. The Badger men's basketball team is in Cincinnati to face Xavier tomorrow morning at 11. I believe Fox will have the TV coverage of the Marquette-Xavier game. And the Marquette women's basketball team plays tomorrow. They will host Stonehill to close out non-conference play. And it's at this point where Chad Holmes finally gets to take a bit of a breather, I think, for the Christmas break. And then I don't believe he sleeps from New Year's Day till, you know, the end of state tournaments for the high school sports out there.
I mean, honestly, between Jimmy Koska and Chad Holmes, I don't know when those two do anything other than sportsing all the sports that can sport.
They are sportsing. Even yesterday, I saw in the Civic Media chat amongst everybody that Jimmy put something in there and they go, "Isn't this your off day?" And he's like, "I got all the sports to do. There is no day off from sports." God bless him for it. Somebody texts in from WFHR. Did I miss the word? Yeah, you did. Okay, I'll tell you. It's
jeez.
I know. Hey, you got to get here early, kids. No, joy. You have another 2 minutes roughly to text the word joy through the Civic Media app and be part of the grown-up gift list text to win contest, your next chance in the 11 a.m. hour with Greg Bach.
Oh my gosh.
And Jane Matinere.
Oh my gosh.
Matinere on air.
Oh, 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 oh.
Are you guys still tracking between you and you two and Todd Alba contest entries?
We're going back and forth. You know, we had ourselves a good couple days, but I'm, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Todd comes out the winner again, because I think he was winning all last week. So we had a firm showing, and we just want to let them know that he's not the only one on the block, baby.
You know,
come for the ground.
He and I were talking the other day about day parts and morning drive versus afternoon drive versus middays, and he was kind of like trying to talk down his time slot, trying to be humble about it. I'm like, look at your contest entries.
Yeah.
You are in a wonderful spot. I'm in a wonderful spot. And do I always say? I'm getting up this early to pee anyway. I may as well get paid for it. We're where we're supposed to be.
He gets two full hours in medicine. We don't.
There you go. So there. So, rock on. You get those contest entries in. You do the same with Ms. Matinere this morning. And hey, really push it. I want to see a photo finish at the end of all this.
Will do, sir. On it.
Okay.
Boom.
All right. Greg is back in 2 hours for Matinere on Air. And then we are back on Monday morning and Tuesday morning, Christmas Eve, live shows Monday and Tuesday. Then it's all Christmas music on Wednesday. And next Thursday and Friday, our pre-recorded best of shows, a lot of great highlights. I've been putting them together. I think you're really going to enjoy them. And then Greg Bach and Kristen Lyerly, guest host on December 30th and 31st, a best of show New Year's Day, and then back live on Thursday, January 2nd.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Earl Ingram.
On the next show, we'll discuss Elon Musk's sinking of the latest bipartisan budget deal and the impact it will have on you. With my regular co-host, Sandy Williams.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world. We're
here born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at ZeroInWisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. With less than 24 hours to go before a partial government shutdown, House Speaker Mike Johnson has arrived on Capitol Hill saying another deal will be voted on this morning. ABC News Chief Washington Correspondent Jonathan Carl.
Overnight, President-elect Donald Trump doubled down, saying there will be no deal unless Congress extends or eliminates the debt ceiling. This after an 11th-hour deal backed by Trump failed badly on the House floor, as a whopping 38 Republicans defied him and voted against it.
A stabbing at a school in Croatia's capital of Zagreb has left a 7-year-old dead and 3 other children and a teacher wounded. The attacker, described as a 19-year-old, was also wounded. Amazon workers represented by the Teamsters continue walking the picket line, demanding better pay and health insurance benefits. Starbucks baristas in 3 cities also striking. The FAA expanding its do not fly drone provisions to more parts of New York State. This is ABC News.
I'm James